In these turbulent financial times, securing your investments with gold and silver needs to be done today, before the next crash. Go to RepublicMonetary.com for our free information kit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Good morning. Welcome to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, at the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, this is Freedom Summit Week. Let me tell you what happens on Freedom Summit Week. We get rocking and rolling and whatnot. When it's time to, you know, nose to grindstone, we're getting everything ready. Things all ready. We got to get more ready. We're getting ready. You know, all the volunteers, except we start putting up all kinds of signs. You know, the kids will be coming back from holidays for ASU. We'll be distributing material there. We have Thursday night the premiere at a theater that we rented there in Tempe of For Liberty, How the Ron Paul Revolution Watered the Withered Tree of Liberty. That'll be fun. We're there to have fun. There's going to be the theater's pretty small. It only holds 240 people or something. I mean, you know, it's 240 people, but, you know, 240 screaming revolutionaries. Going to have some fun. Then the next day, Friday night, we have a presentation debate forum. We call it the pre-summit debate every Friday night before our summits. This is our eighth one. What we do is we have a debate on a issue of importance, and we've done it in the past, you know, on various things. And this one is going to be, should we replace the United States Constitution with nothing? Is that an option? I mean, it's starting to come out, the history of the Constitution, who is behind it, why, what they did. I mean, these are a lot of things that a lot of us knew. A lot of us in the freedom movement, a lot of people that are libertarian-oriented, of course, that haven't made the attempt to romanticize the Constitution into something it's not. Because they try and marry the Declaration of Independence with the United States Constitution, and they're two totally 180-degree different documents. Well, that's going to be discussed by the biggest minds of the freedom movement. We have that's going to be doing that is going to be Butler Schaefer. He's a law professor in Southern California as a mentor of the Freedom Summit. My partner, Mark J. Victor, attorney in the in the East Valley here. Now, the Friday night lineup is Thomas Woods, author of Meltdown, Butler Schaefer, law professor, teach constitutional law. I mean, this is what he does. Judge John Buttrick, Superior Court judge here in Arizona. William Bupert is an author. He's a special forces in the Army and now does a lot of contract work for the Department of Defense. And, you know, he's one of the instructors for Appleseed, which is trying to make every American a rifleman. And he came to my attention. He did a lot of articles on LouRockwell.com, which is a very popular freedom-oriented site. You go to Lou, LEWRockwell.com, and this is where, you know, you'll see a lot of Dr. Paul, Ron Paul, and Jim Rogers, and Peter Schiff, and it's Mises Institute. It's laissez-faire economics. It's the Austrian economics guys. They are, you know, big, 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 big. Well, what happens is William Bupert did some articles on secession. And it's in the history of the Constitution, so we're getting a lot out of that. Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers, David Nolan, one of the founders of the Libertarian Party, and Mark Victor. That's just the pre-summit debate. That's just to see, hey, there's an after. What's after? We're going to find out because after is coming. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and we'll tell you a little bit more about what we're doing this week.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Stop the war! Now! Good God, hear me say, don't put it off another day. Everybody's team, stop the war!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and yep, the war be expanded. And here comes Obama. They're going to be doing more in Afghanistan. Where is the anti-war movement, huh? Where is it, huh? Now, this is something that we've lived over and over and over. Anybody paying attention, if you weren't being brainwashed by the corporate media industrial complex, or whatever you want to call it, those. Or those who just want to be left alone, those that won't leave them alone, and how they won't leave you alone. One thing that is always, you know, intertwined with it is the propaganda. Now, these guys have been convincing you. Are you convinced? I don't think so. I think what they do is they try and convince you that everyone else is convinced, and then you just amp up the dial on the election fraud, and then they can do whatever they want. And you go, yeah, you know. Yeah, you're smart. Yeah, you're the smart one. Yeah, you smart. But all those other guys are so stupid. It's everybody else. In the end, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you what's going on. The Freedom Summit, we started in 2001. The first one was 3 weeks after 9/11. We thought of canceling it. We're like, oh, man, should we, you know, there's so much going on. Do we need, you know, people were canceling, I'm not flying, blah, blah, blah. And then we go, nah, we know what's coming. We know what's going to happen. This is their Pearl Harbor. This is it. They're going to take all the goodies they had on the shelves. They've been trying to pass forever, certainly during the Clinton administration, and here it comes. They're going to stamp it, you know, love America, build de la whatever, like Patriot Act, and they're going to do it. And we had to speak. We got videotape. Videotape. Man, back in the day when it used to actually be on videotape. And what happened, we had the speakers get up and say, this is going to happen. Happened. Following year. This is going to happen. Happened. Now, two of our speakers, previous years, were Ron Paul. Now, this would be his third summit. We no longer have to waste a moment on convincing our audience what's going to happen. It's already happened. You can see the mushroom cloud and the flash over the horizon. Flash, boom. Wow. And you got this billowing mushroom cloud. The shockwave has yet to hit us. You may have felt the rumbling. You may have, the birds are flying. You know, they're getting out of here. The animals are kind of, you know, what's up. But you haven't felt the shockwave yet. The shockwave is coming. It has yet to hit. What do you do then? Imagine this. If you have any disconnect in the system for what, a day, 2 days, 3 days, you know, my power just went off before I came here this morning at my home. Boom, power went off. I'm doing all kinds of computer stuff, getting ready, doing jump, power goes off. Dang it. Now it's some, you know, you call the Arizona Public Service and they say, you know, recording, well, there was they actually said the name of the business. So-and-so cabinetry shop had equipment malfunction, took out the grid for 10 square miles. And I'm going, man, that must have been a heck of a bandsaw. I'm going, seriously? You know, you go get them, you know, I'm whatever. So, yeah, that's good. We got, you know, battery operated stuff. So, and of course, we happen to have a nice generator. If they got really bad and the refrigerator's going, you know, we got, you know, you just crank up the generator. Pretty good size generator. Got a little smaller one, too. We even got a little battery backup stuff when you go camping, the Duracell thing, you know, it's a, you know, jump start your car kind of deal. Excuse me. But the thing is that You know, not everybody is prepared at all. I mean, they shut down. They are done. Refrigerator, food, maybe all that they extra money that they had is tied up in food. Just to last them until their next paycheck that week. Power goes out 7 hours. Man, you are screwed. Well, there's a lot of power outages going on here. Every now and then, it's just boom, boom, boom. It's like, you know, checkerboard. I mean, it's not for a long time or a lot. But I tell you this. I'll bet you it's probably 4 or 5 times a year for an average of 2-3 hours, you know, where I live. And I live in Central Phoenix. So this is not uncommon. What happens when it gets more frequent? What happens when we turn into Baghdad? What happens when you got power only at certain times of the day for your area? You think I'm kidding? This is what, and it's a very useful control thing. You're not thinking about revolution when you're thinking about, dang, it's hot. So, what do we do now? Well, Saturday, the summit starts, you know, the main part of the summit. We'll have Mark Victor. He'll get up and tell you, you know, this is where we are now in the criminal justice system. This is a guy that sees where the rubber meets the road every day. All day. He is so affected as time goes on by how bad our criminal justice system is, how they treat people. Justice is not that, you know, in fact, it says in, you know, the ethics and job of the prosecutor, the government is to seek justice. Is that what's going on? No. It's like saying peace officers, they're not peace officers anymore. They're law enforcers. And the law has nothing to do with justice. It has to do with whatever benefits them. And they are losing money like crazy. We're going deeper and deeper in debt. And they keep incarcerating people for smoking marijuana. I mean, this is just... seriously? So then we have Charles Goyette, the next Saturday speaker. Charles Goyette. Number one and the most independent talk show host in, you know, very popular here in Arizona. Used to own a station in northern Arizona, became a very popular talk show host down here. All of a sudden, Clear Channel didn't love him no mo because he would not support the war. And Clear Channel, they'd have all these rallies for the troops and all this other stuff, and everybody knew it was all pro-Republican Bush thing. And he wouldn't play. He goes, no, I'm not playing. No, I'm not. I'm not doing it. Well, your service is no longer required. So he goes on other radio stations. I produced for him for a while. We travel around the dial here in Arizona, and he stayed on the air. He and I both, you know, spreading the word. And what happened was, then it's time to write the book because the end is nigh. Here it comes. Everything for years, years. Think about this. As a producer, which is what I was, he's a talk show host. When we started working together, I would have to come up with a guest, on average, every half hour. He didn't, normally, we do an hour, or even 2 hours with a guest. I want one issue. What's the one subject? We're going to learn a lot about that one subject and how the philosophy of freedom applies to that one subject. So it's good for me because my concept is 10 years from now, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years from now, that these archives are there that you can go to the archive and look up a subject or an individual, and you got an in-depth conversation that got down to it. Not a PR thing, not a press release, not a, you know, promote my book, not a, you know, they want to get a plug, man, they got to earn their plug. Jay Leno said, man, you're earning your plug, and this is going to be an hour of me grilling you. So... but Charles is old school radio. He wanted to have, you know, different segments, a lot of news stuff going. He'd come in with papers, read all kinds of, but had everything all done. He wanted to cover a lot of stuff. Well, I do that and get that out on freedomsphoenix.com. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, you get all, I mean, more than we could ever put on the radio. So we push freedomsphoenix.com. More than you could ever put in a radio show, it's right there. Heck, you can be scanning it right now as you're listening to me. So what happens, we take a lot of that stuff and we'll put it in the archive. I'll go, all right, you know, this is a story of the day. You know, we just said, you know, Obama, more Afghanistan stuff. Oh, we're definitely going to get into this tungsten gold thing. I'll talk about that a little bit today. You know, them fake gold bars, that's, wow. You know, there's, you know, a lot to be said about that. So what happens is, we'll go ahead and put that in there, but we'll get to talk about what we want to talk about. Now, Charles, different. He's radio. Every day, news talk radio in the Valley, we get a lot of great guests. I would get, on average, a guest for every half hour for 3 hours. That is 6 guests a day times 5. That's 30-somethings guests. So on average, we'd have at least, depending on what we're doing, a little longer on some, have other stuff we just talk, no guests. So you're looking at 20 headliner guests every week for years. You think we don't have an archive on that? You think we didn't get it? You think we didn't have, every week we would have Jim Rogers, the billionaire biker. Jim Rogers on. Every, we'd have Peter Schiff all the time. Ron Paul all the time. Why? Because these guys knew what was coming. And Charles took that information and what he knew. He's got skills himself. And he wrote a book. Bestseller, New York Times, within 3 weeks, being translated in Korean and Chinese. Here we go. And he is a second speaker Saturday morning. I dare you to miss it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Jet Lacy on the board, and starting in about an hour, we are busy. You know, this is the summit week. I mean, rocking and rolling and whatnot, getting all loose ends tied, meeting with everybody, getting all coordinated, final little, you know, big marketing push. We'll be putting signs up and distributing stuff at ASU and doing everything. Here it comes. Be healed. And who's going to heal you more than Dr. Ron Paul? He's the third speaker on Saturday morning. Now, he is, I'll tell you something about Dr. Paul a lot of people don't know. When he ran for president in 88 as a libertarian, he was much more edgy. You know, you watch some of the interviews that survived, videotapes of various interviews that he did on, you know, access television, little, you know, local television, little thing, anything he could get when he was running, he went and did it. And I, some of these are survived on their, they survived on the internet, and people put them up there, and we looked at them, and I'm going, oh, the boy's got game. Think about it. 1988, he's talking about Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberg, the Central Bank, Federal Reserve. He's been saying the same stuff for 30, 40 years. So what's changed? Experience. He just got older. He knew who his audience was in the Republican Party. He's like, wouldn't it be nice if, I mean, well, I don't think they understand. And, you know, he's being a nice guy. Does it matter? I don't know. He's saying the same things. He's just kind of a little less edge. Well, that leaves the edge for us to do. Because we're in a situation now that there is a... Somebody has to have the message. Somebody's got to be, you know, making it clear what's coming. And there is a roadmap to tyranny, and it keeps getting followed, repeated over and over. I remember the first time that I met Dr. Paul in person. I tell this story every now and then, and I'll share it with you. We're at a function in Aspen, Colorado. It's called the Aris Society. Doug Casey puts on. He's a gazillionaire, anarcho-capitalist, libertarian guy. And I've been doing it for 20-something years. And at the Aris Society, it's just, you know, kind of a little bit different than Freedom Summit. It's a little bit more widespread and just, you know, a chance for 3 or 4 days, guys, the party. And here are various different issues. And what happened was Dr. Paul spoke. And he was saying the same thing. Now, keep in mind, this was 3 weeks before 9/11, 6 weeks before our first summit. And he was going on a lot of the same things you hear now. He's talking about stuff, and he goes, bad, bad, bad stuff's happening. This is what they're doing. This is where it's going. This is going to happen in the economy. Now, keep in mind, this is years before, you know, this is years before it even started to peak. You know, he knew this is all bubble stuff. This is just economics. And we asked him. Mark Victor and I, we went up there to kind of check out the summit, meet some people in preparation for what our summit would be like. And we go, okay, so what is going to happen? What's your solution? And Dr. Paul looked right at us in front of everybody, and he said, buy a gun. Nothing else, just buy a gun. So I'm going, okay. What else are you going to say? So I took a lot more interest in him. At least he was, you know, there's something else going on. I'm going to buy a gun. Seriously? I mean, that's, you know, from a congressman that is saying all this stuff that's going to happen. The solution is buy a gun. And he was right. It's coming down to that. At least have, I mean, for, if no other reason other than it retains its value. I mean, it's a monetary investment. Then we have lunch. Now, our lunches are 2 hours. The reason we do that is because over the years, we've done surveys. Every single one of our summits, we ask all the people, you know, what they thought about, you know, they would rather have and do and so on. And they always wanted long lunches because they would go off with their own group that they'd find interest in, different speakers and so on. So the summit, that's why we call it a summit. It's the participants, the people that go, aren't there to be lectured. They're there to share. So 2 hours, they'll find their best speaker. That's one deal that we make with the speakers. You know, hey, you know, you're there for the weekend. We're paying for you to come. You're there. You're not going off in your hotel room. You're not running off to some other event. You're not going. No, you're there to hang. You know, the people get to talk with you. Now, Dr. Paul, I'm going to tell you a little secret. One, he has to leave right after the speech. You know, he's going back home. But we got one thing out of him. He's going to do a street sign wave. He's going to do a street action, you know, with Gene Manwiller. That was the only thing she wanted. All the guys here, you know, all these people that are just so passionate about spreading the message. They go out on the street. They can't pass a corner. You know, if they're waiting for somebody at the movie theater, man, they get a sign out of their car and stand there until their friend gets there. I mean, that's how bad it is. So what happens is we convince Dr. Paul, and it didn't take a lot of convincing, he is going to be part of a street action there. It's going to be a good YouTube, have some fun. You might want to participate in that. Then you have lunch with these guys. You pick. This is going to be the truth. Where do you go to get the truth? We know the truth. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Today is Freedom Summit Week. Gosh darn it, where are you at? You better be getting here, because I'm telling you, if you want to know what, I'm serious. I am so freaking serious. If you want to know what's coming, you know, we already know what's happened. You know, we already know what, you know, we knew, we told you what was coming. It's here. Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? And you need to be around people that know now what. That understand, you know, where, and it may be temporary. You know, there's not going to be all of a sudden we all become hobbits in one valley and stay there and hope nobody with a ring comes in. You know, I mean, you just, we don't have to beat these. That's one thing that's the difference, you know, between how I view what's coming and a lot of other people. Yeah, we got to gather together. We got to go kick their ass. Let's go. I don't, why? It's going to kick itself. I mean, seriously. You know, we just have to survive it. How to survive it? And when we reconstitute whatever society comes out of this, can we not make the same mistakes? Well, after lunch, we have John Taylor Gatto. Now, John Taylor Gatto, I'm really glad that he's had a big impact on a lot of things that we've done since the early 90s. And I remember when he first came out, there was a paper that he did that was circulated heavily by the more experienced libertarians of the day. And as a young man in my 20s and so on, early 30s during that time, they wanted to make absolutely sure that I knew everything about John Taylor Gard, what he had to say and what was going on. Now, here's a little bit of his history. He's very well known in the homeschooling area and so on. But his teaching, he was a teacher. I think he started as a substitute. And he got in and he did well. You know, he climaxed his teaching career as a New York State Teacher of the Year. Now, after being named New York City Teacher of the Year on three occasions, this is 3 years, he's a Teacher of the Year. So was he a good guy? Was he part of the machine? Was he Teacher of the Year in spite of the machine because he wouldn't support the machine? Well, he quit teaching on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal in 1991 while he was still New York State Teacher of the Year, claiming that he was no longer willing to hurt children. Later that year, he was the subject of a show at Carnegie Hall called An Evening with John Taylor Gatto, which launched his career into public speaking and the area of school reform. Now, what had, you know, that launched him into giving a lot of speeches, writing a lot of things. And, you know, in 92, he was named the Secretary of Education in the Libertarian Party's shadow cabinet. That was a shadow cabinet thing, was an effort that they had in the early 90s to kind of show that these are the kind of people that we would put in these positions. And the big argument is, do you even got a Secretary of Education? I thought we were supposed to get rid of that, which is what Gatto's thing was. Now, he wrote books, Dumbing Us Down, The Hidden Curriculum of Compulsory Schooling. That was 1992. In 93, The Exhausted School, A Different Kind of Teacher is another book. The Underground History of American Education. Now, that was a very, very interesting, I wouldn't say the part that I read, it was, I guess 20 pages or something. It wasn't necessarily a book. It was an essay, and it was my take on it was it really had a big impact. One of the reasons why we pulled our kids out of school. It was intentional that you have classes that are less than an hour long, that are always interrupted by a bell, that they want to teach you a little bit about everything, making sure you understand that nothing's really important. You know, you don't get an in-depth understanding of any particular subject. If you're going to sit there and learn algebraic equations, you're going to do calculus, you're going to do all, and you're going to do it in actual teaching time of, you know, what, 40 minutes? Yay, boy, you know, I can be all I can be with that. You know, it was intentional. It was based on a Prussian model, the Prussian kingdom, you know, the king. They wanted to make good slaves. They wanted you to read just enough to be able to read instructions. You know, when you got a pink slip, you were fired, you knew what it meant. This is what they wanted. They just wanted, you know, really, really educated chimps. You know, I do whatever you want, give me my banana. Okay? So this was intentional. In fact, they would even argue the point that it was intentional. It was beneficial. They were going, yeah, to have a great society, you know, for national security. It's never about individual rights. It's always about us being subservient to the needs of the collective, as if that was the highest goal. And a lot of people make that argument now. Well, if you don't like it, you know, you can leave. Okay, I'm not allowed to complain. I have to leave and if I complain. Is that the kind of society you want? Seriously? And this will come from, you know, the Birkenstock guys. You know, this is Berkeley. You know, those guys with the beards, man. You know, they're in charge now. You got the liberals, you got the socialist agenda. And, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they were the ones complaining. So what did you hear from the other side? If you don't like it, leave. So now that they're in charge, they say the same thing. You don't like it, leave. And you know what my response is? I'm just going, you know, what if we just keep an eye out for governments that say you can't complain? Is that a good sign that they've gone down the dark side? So, I complain. You know, when they say I can't complain anymore, they'll put you in jail. I need to know that. Thanks for sharing. as the good little piece of information I need to put over here in the I need to know column. Okay. After John Taylor Gatto, we got Butler Schaefer. Now, Butler Schaefer, he writes a lot for a lot of publications. You can see him a lot on LouRockwell.com and a lot on Freedom's Phoenix. And he's been a regular at the Freedom Summit because he brings a very interesting perspective. Every few years, you know, so he doesn't do it every year so that the, you know, the graduates, upperclassmen aren't, you know, telling the freshmen what's coming. What he does in his classes, he's a law professor. Now teach people to be, you know, law school, teach them to be attorneys, studying constitutional law, et cetera. And the one thing that he does, I remember telling this story, he goes, I'll go to the students and I'll say, all right, what I want from you is to create a constitution, a form of government that cannot be bastardized into an individual right stomping, hating organization. I mean, if you can do it, man, you know, knock yourself out. I want to see. Well, the closest he came was one kid came up and he said, okay, the only thing that the federal government does is they regulate time. They're going to have, you know, we got different time zones. Because we cover a few time zones, we're going to go ahead and say, the only thing we do is we're just making sure that, you know, we got this time zone here and this time and this time, and we just regulate time. That's it. That's all we do, time. And he goes, oh, that's an easy one. You shall use X amount of your time in support of. You can't use any of your time to do X. You got to do, you know, any time, your liberty, what your time is used to control you. You can't give authority to any central, they can't. And then where the big problem is that no, regardless of how limited you say you do a Bill of Rights, the government shall never say that you can do your time to do whatever. Because the anti-federalists, they saw this. When they did the Constitution, they were trying to get ratified. The anti-federalists saying, no, we know what you're going to do. Oh, no, we would never do that. They always talk about the Federalist Papers arguing about what they weren't going to do. And anti-federalists argued, oh, yeah, when you get the chance, you're going to do it. Well, who was right? They did it. Because if you have the government is the one that determines whether it's okay, it's constitutional or not on the Supreme Court, well, what'd you think was going to happen? They determine whether what they did was okay or not. Where do we come in? That's where the Bill of Rights came from. Now you can't limit our speech. Well, free speech zones. When that doesn't work, you can't limit our ability to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government, Second Amendment. Well, how's that working out? You know, maybe I want a belt-fed, fully automatic machine gun mounted on top of my Hummer. Maybe. Maybe I need it. Got a lot of rocket on you, a little Stinger missile, you know, keep government in check. Now, of course, they, oh, man, good heavens, the Murgatroyd. That would be, you can't have that because, you know, I give you Afghanistan. Where do you think they got them? There's always some government that's going to go against another government, the government to be government, in the interest of some government. You know, what do you think they're dealing with? Heck, you know, our troops over there right now are fighting a lot of our stuff. Ever hear Charlie's War with Tom Hanks and Julia Roberts? You know, this stuff goes on all the time, but you never hear about it when it's happening. We do. We know the people. We know who to ask. You know, one of our speakers at Freedom Summit before is Karen Kwiatkowski, which was a lieutenant colonel in the Pentagon. She knew. She's sharing, yeah? What are you going to do about it? Then in the afternoon, we have Judge John Buttrick. Judge Buttrick is a Superior Court judge. He was the Libertarian candidate for governor in 1994. And it was three-way debates televised all over. It was a big deal. It was Fife Symington and Eddie Basha versus the Libertarian John Buttrick. Here's a guy that's a senior partner, Brown & Bain, big law firm, have offices, hundreds of attorneys, offices, and I think it was in Phoenix, Tucson, Houston at the time, big. High rise here down on Central and Thomas and center of town, you go up to 20-something floor, and they have one of them big mahogany tables. I mean, you know, like 50 people around tables, big. Glass walls, I kind of have to announce this campaign, here I come. Now, a lot of that law practice, they had a lot of people in the Democratic Party had run for various Democratic offices. He was one of the original law partners back when there was 12. And what happened was he had all kinds of honors from Harvard. He graduated, went to Vietnam and military intelligence. I think he was a military intelligence guy on a ship, yeah, but he's Vietnam era veteran. Then he had, you know, a distinguished career, and he knew where things were coming, where they were going. And what did he say? You know, I'm this libertarian thing. Since he voted libertarian since the 70s. Wasn't a secret. So when we approached him about running for governor, what we had in mind and the plan that we had to educate people in Arizona to this, he didn't say heck no right away. And we go, ooh, he might actually do it. It was amazing that he didn't go screaming, running like his hair is on fire away from the crazy libertarians. He understood what was coming. These people are rare. But you have to have an enormous self-confidence. And they equate that with arrogance or fringe or crazy or not mainstream or whatever they want to define you as to make them feel better. When you got the lamestream media, the media so last century in bed with the corrupt politicians and the machines, they hate having someone like this pointing out what they are. They have to diminish you. And a lot of times you know people by their enemies way more than you do their friends. You know, their enemy, you know, you're willing to really come out and say, I don't like this person's bad because, and you go, okay, well, who's this person saying that? Well, when you have the lamestream media and certain politicians, you know, coming at John and the libertarians on their what we were advocating in 94, you're going, wow, really? Man, and we got a lot of attention. We did very well. We ran all the statewide campaigns and Congress and state legislature. We had over 30 candidates that we were focusing hardcore on from a workshop very similar to what we have now. That was our first one. Well, Judge Buttrick became a judge. And here in Arizona, initially, you have a retention vote that the people vote to retain you. And that's another interesting thing. Just in the county of Maricopa, which incorporates the Valley of the Sun here in Phoenix, just in Maricopa, he got more votes as a judge than Harry Brown or Michael Badnarik did or Barr in the entire country. Voting for president of the United States. More votes. People went, yes, I like John Buttrick in Maricopa County. More votes in one county than they got in the entire country. Wow. Highly respected. His opponents in the gubernatorial race, both left and right, they all recommended that he be appointed judge. Now, you got to ask, you know, one, they knew there was no reason not to. They have an evaluation board and all these attorneys and judges and everybody going through and they give recommendations to the governor. And like 3 years in a row, they're like, man, John, top of the list, John, you do John. And all these letters, 100 letters of all these top politicians, John, to Jane D. Hull. She was governor at the time. And like, what the heck, man? So she calls him in. How can you be a judge and be this libertarian thing? Well, I don't know what he told her, you know, it's like, well, you know, that's the deal. I mean, you take an oath, right? I mean, isn't there this oath thing going on? Do you guys take your oath seriously? There's an oath, right? You understand this oath? I take it seriously. Okay, so he becomes a judge. It'll be 10 years this next year. He's probably going to retire. What happens when he retires? Is he back in the game? I've been waiting for this for a long time. We're going to hear about it. What role the Libertarian Party plays or doesn't play. Because you go any kind of collective, any kind, certainly on a national level, same problems. He knows that. But Arizona's been an inspiration. And we interviewed him Friday, you know, on our afternoon show. And he was very, hey, yep, he's got a plan. So John Buttrick, you need to hear what. From the inside of the, at the very, you got Mark J. Victor, criminal defense attorney, going before judges, and here we got a libertarian judge. You think we don't know exactly what's going on? Who's doing it? What role the prosecutors play? the legislators, the court system, law enforcement? Do you have any doubt that we don't know exactly what's going on and where this is going? Well, you get to the Freedom Summit so you know, too, because you need to prepare. I'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
The chills that you spill up my back keep me filled with satisfaction when we're done. Satisfaction of what's to come.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, I can wear jeans now without getting sweaty. Still got short sleeves on. It's Phoenix. That's another thing. You come to the summit here in Arizona, man, it's a vacation. And it's nice. It's beautiful here. The evening of the dinner entertainment, we have Jordan Page. Now, he is, if you go Jordan Page, P-A-G-E, and you do a YouTube on, you'll see a lot of his stuff. He's been performing for a long time. He does a great job. He's a professional musician. But he came to the attention of a lot of people that are in the freedom movement because some of his original songs are really inspiring, and he's very talented. And it's just – so we're just a reward to him and his efforts. And I wanted to make sure he got some props and meet the guys and come out and be our entertainment. And he'll have his guitar. We'll get them all sound hooked up and everything on the Friday night as part of the entertainment then for the pre-summit debate. And for Saturday night dinner, he'll entertain us. And then, you know, just hanging out around and late night discussions and the campfire and whatever. And, you know, we'll have somebody with some skills there because we went to – Adam Kokesh's launching of his sign production and campaign and such in Santa Fe when he's running for Congress. And Jordan Page was there. We had a big concert for 4th of July, and he was great. And we had such a good time with him that my wife just insisted that he be the entertainment at the Freedom Summit. So my wife, you know, nope, got to get it. She, when the concert was over, she was running up from the audience onto the stage, and she's running by. She goes, "We got to get him for the summit." I go, "I already took care of it." Way ahead of you. You know, she was very excited. So I'm glad she's going to be happy with that. But at the dinner, the keynote speaker is Thomas Woods. Thomas Woods wrote the book Meltdown. And you have two books. You have The Dollar Meltdown by Charles Goyette, which is, you know, dang. You know, when the largest publisher in China, which means Chinese government, the largest publisher in China buys that book to be translated, you know, you got to go, why would they do that? Because they want to know the truth. They want to spread it for whatever reason it benefits them. You know, they're going to make sure that people know what's really going on instead of what CNN says in Chinese. You know, now, Thomas Woods wrote a book that came out a year before that called The Meltdown. And it's kind of the same thing, but it's a little bit more, I wouldn't say rudimentary, but more basic. It's an understanding for someone. It's like you need to read that book before you read Charles's book if you don't know anything about economics. And it goes from the kind of the same line, you know, of understanding going through, but it where Charles is different, that it uses stories of the day at the time that this happened from a talk show host perspective. This is what they were saying on the news. This is the guy that was saying it from the administration. This is the administration's policy and so on. This is what happened. This is what Greenspan did. This was the effect. This is why. Who was behind it? What laws were passed? I mean, you really get through, so you have a total understanding of how screwed we are, why, and who did it. Wood's book is more about understanding general concepts. Very effective in making sure people got educated and got prepped to be reading other stuff because he's from the Mises Institute, which is Lou Rockwell's organization and so on, that, you know, understanding of economics. The difference about Thomas Woods, why he's so popular, is he's funny. He is a very entertaining speaker, and it's going to be fun. He's going to make it fun. We're going to enjoy ourselves getting the truth because we can. Why not? We're not allowed? Well, what we're going to do when we come back in the next hour, I'm going to tell you what's going on later Saturday night. and what we're doing Sunday. This goes all weekend. We got more guests. You don't want to miss this event. We'll be right back.